This week, we speak with past master of Blendon Lodge in Ohio, Matt Johnson, about Freemasonry marketing. Not exactly the kind of marketing you're thinking about. I ask Matt how he got started in this marketing technology game.
One of the past masters at the time came over and said, "Hey, you're one of those techie guys, right? Hey, can you handle the website from now on?" "Sure, why not?"
When the average Joe searches Google, what's it look like?
"So I've heard about masonry, did a little Googling around, came across you guys. So what are you?"
And if your lodge isn't known on the internet,
they can't ask to be one if they can't find one to ask.
What relation does Freemasonry have when we look at it like a true organization in the world today?
If the Grand Lodge is the manufacturer and the different lodges would be the equivalent of a local dealer or distributor, it's still up to the local branch to really take charge of it.
Finally, we'll wrap it up with a brand new Masonic Minute with illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 481. We got a great show coming up for you. As usual, I want to give a shout out to all of our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners. Without you, we cannot make this show. To all of our past supporters, thank you as well. Because of you, we are able to offer this program to anybody with an interest in Freemasonry, its kindred sciences, the world over. What's going on in the news? I released a new book called How to Charter a Lodge, a No-Nonsense Unsanctioned Guide. You can check out the details and where to get that on WCYpodcast.com. Click on Support the Show and you can purchase it right there. You can also get it on Amazon and Kindle. As you heard in the opening, we've got a great interview with Brother Matt Johnson of FreemasonMarketing.com. And after the interview, we'll hear from illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison for this week's Masonic Minute. But for now, let's get into the interview with Brother Matt Johnson of Freemason Marketing. All right, everybody, we're back this week. Lucky enough to have Brother Matt Johnson, no relation, from Blendon Lodge number 339 in Westerville, Ohio. Matt is a past master, and he is the proprietor and the man behind FreemasonMarketing.com. Matt, I want to turn it over to you for a brief introduction.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Like you said, I'm Matt Johnson from Blendon Masonic Lodge 339 in Westerville, Ohio. Past master there, served in 2016. I'm one of the guys that I hope be in the top 10 geekiest fellows you'll ever come across in your life. And if I'm not, well, then I'm not doing my job. And I take that as a code of honor that I apply to everything that I do for my lodge as well. All the technology that we've incorporated over the years, not only for myself, but those that have come in the line behind me, and just how I approach masonry in general.
So Matt, for us to understand where you kind of come from in this, in the real world also, you have relevant experience. You're a senior marketing technologist. In an episode that we did a while ago, which actually got a lot of great feedback from the people who loved it and the people who immediately hated it, we got trashed. And this was the episode called Selling Freemasonry. In fact, when I posted a link to this episode on my own Grand Lodge Facebook page, the admins deleted it, claiming that I was trying to have some say on things that was out and above my own Grand Lodge's committee on marketing or whatever. And it was just kind of funny. But what I found interesting is one of the things that come out of that episode is this idea that we want to utilize people who have a real world expertise in something. And they say, well, you know, Freemasonry, we have so many volunteers and you kind of take what you can get. But I think if you really know your people, you can leverage their talents, specifically something that most Masonic lodges struggle with today, which you outline on your website, Freemason Marketing. Straight away, you can see, you know, a couple paragraphs you wrote on the problem. And this is one of the things that I'm really passionate about. And this is that we want to put somebody who has relevant experience in the job, right? Like in the past, it's no big deal to see we have a Freemason, a member of our lodge who is a painter, who comes and paints in our lodge. Well, now as Freemasonry moves from the 20th century into the 21st century, we're behind the curve, objectively, with an objective lens, we're behind the curve, and we're not exactly empowering our senior marketing technologists, you know, per se, who might be working in our lodges to better the experience. Let me go ahead and pass it over to you to get some of your initial thoughts on this issue.
Sure. Yeah, consequently, my second meeting after being raised as a Master Mason, one of the past masters at the time came over and said, "Hey, you're one of those techie guys, right? Hey, can you handle the website from now on?" "Sure, why not?" And that's where it went. The website we had back then was certainly worlds more than most lodges even have by this year, 2021. It was just the very basic standard issue web presence, a brief who we are on the front page, a couple of pictures, contact info, when we meet, and that was it. But how many lodges out there have even that basic information published in any way, shape, or form? I took that, and it's been my baby ever since. As time went on and a few other younger guys came into the fold, the more admins were added to the site. Of course, we got on board with social media, and it's just been exponential growth. What started off as a project and passion of one now has, we don't have a committee per se, but just a bunch of us that help manage the portals that we have and just make sure it is exactly what we want to do with it. To your other comment there, the problem that I noticed is that our lodge is a bit unique. We are known, at least here in the 14th District, as an exceptionally young lodge. Our entire officer line, the bulk of our membership that is actually coming to meetings, called 25, 30 guys in the before COVID times, that are, I'd say, under 45 on average. A couple of outliers, of course, but for the most part, we are quite young. Myself, I was the youngest guy to serve as Worshipful Master at Blendon, if not at least the past 100 years or so, maybe ever. Now, of course, the guy who came up behind me technically had me beat by a couple of months, so I give him credit for being the truly youngest one. But because of the amount of just young guys that just reach out to us, say, "Hey, so I've heard about Masonry, did a little Googling around, came across you guys. So what are you?" And that in and of itself is how the conversation starts. And once they reach out to us, well, you know how it goes. The B1 ask one, but they can't ask the B1 if they can't find one to ask. And that's kind of how I had the seed in my head from years back. There was a class we had to go through back when I was serving in the line called Stuff You Should Know. And Ken Cohen, Worshipbrother Ken Cohen, an old mentor of mine, he and I had a conversation one day, and this all kind of came into focus of, you know, we've had all the success of Blendon, and I see a lot of other lodges struggling. You know, we're not doing anything magical. It's just people reach out to us because they can find us, and they can. And once that kind of clicked, then the Freemason Marketing Project came really full circle. But I eventually did write an op-ed that was submitted to the Grand Lodge of Ohio, put in one of our magazines at that time. And after that, I started to just publish exactly how I do what I do for Blendon. Is it the end-all be-all for marketing? Certainly not, but it's at least what I've done and what I found success with for quick and dirty, for free resources, cheap resources, how to do this, how I did that, not only for how to get a website published, how to get it together, how 60-year member can put a website together on almost no budget if that's what they want to do, or even with completely free if that's what they want to do.
Let's talk a little bit about the website. You know, when I first found FreemasonMarketing.com, I thought it was a really interesting idea because I said, well, here's a guy who has had success in having, okay, so number one, his lodge said, "Hey, go for it." All right. Well, that's awesome. Number two is that you outlined a lot of really interesting things, but you also hit on stuff that wasn't super basic. You also had stuff in there that I thought was really awesome. I'm a big web techie guy. So one of the first things I saw that you had on your website that I thought was rad was you had 3D printable working tools. I was like, are you kidding? This is awesome. So among some of the other things people can find are these gems on your website. I wanted to read this one part you have on your website under the problem. It's the last paragraph. And I thought, you know, when I read this, I was thinking, number one, exactly what I'm thinking. Number two, it's kind of a dangerous thing to say. And I'll say why. Because there are so many brothers out there who don't see the problem with the way Freemasonry is driven. They basically will hear you out and then shut you down immediately. There's nothing wrong. We're a traditional organization and we're doing just fine. And so this last paragraph says, this is an internet-driven era. You have approximately 10 seconds or less when I find your homepage for me to gauge if I'm wasting my time. Not in the concept of Freemasonry, but in your specific lodge. A lost opportunity. I'd be more likely to close the page, never looking back because I think Lodge XYZ is a joke or a dead organization. I often hear, quote, we only want the most interested candidates, end quote. That's great, but give them something to be interested in. And this whole idea, it like speaks to the heart of me, right? Like I'm a what Pew Research considers the first year millennial. So 1981, so I'm a little bit of Gen X or whatever if you follow that stuff. I think I told somebody once, if you're not online, you're not even real to my generation, right? Like, where are you on the internet? If you're not, okay. Well, I mean, specifically thinking about organizations or stores or on like anybody who wants to sell anything, you have to have a web presence because that's where the market is looking for you. And Freemasonry is no different. Have you had pushback on what you're trying to do? Have you had any adversity in that area?
Initially, yes. There were a number of more senior members that started the term Freemason marketing and immediately assumed I was starting a business to try and market for Masonic lodges. Everything you see on this portal is 100% free of charge. It's what I've written myself or that I found that's been published by other Grand Lodges and just put onto one single portal. And that's it. Just a tutorial page, how to do things. Here's how some different ways you can do this or that for the most easiest, cost-effective way, or even free. I did have some also pushback from some even more senior members that basically heard the term marketing and thought it was a true evil, that I was trying to go around the concept of to be one, ask one, to where we do not solicit for membership. I was raised with that so deeply embedded in my skull by my own father-in-law that I still take that to heart. Everything that I've done for Blendon, everything that is published on that portal, keeps that in mind and is 110% lock, stock, and barrel. To be one, ask one, they have to find us. There's nothing that goes against that. It took some convincing at first with some crowds, but after just a brief conversation with them of, look, this is what it actually is, here's what I'm doing, and they're like, oh, well, it's not too terrible. So that's why you see actually in the top of it, Masonic PR education, PR or public resources, that's a good word. Marketing, bad word.
Maybe. I mean, Grand Lodge Illinois has a marketing and branding team, and this is a brand new addition that we did 2 years ago. And I don't necessarily know the future of it. And one of the problems that we see within Freemasonry, right, is the continuity of ideas and public relations and committees from Grandmaster to Grandmaster. Things aren't always, continued forward. You know, there are a couple standard committees that are mandated by Grand Lodge Constitution and bylaws that must be there. And marketing and branding just isn't one of those things because it wasn't around when they published the bylaws way back in, 18 whatever.
Yeah.
You mentioned that it's got this tagline of education. I think that was key and a great way to quote unquote sell what you're doing.
I took it as, just to give you an idea of the perspective I was using at the time, I was working for a company called Scream Machine Industries as an equipment manufacturer. We had a lot of dealers throughout the U.S. that I would help coordinate marketing campaigns with them, but ultimately it was up to the dealer on their side to eventually execute what they need to do locally. And I looked to some of the marketing initiatives from the Grand Lodge as kind of that. If the Grand Lodge is the manufacturer and the different lodges would be the equivalent of a local dealer or distributor, it's still up to the local branch to really take charge of it if they want to do it the best way possible and really have ownership of it. And that's basically how I outlined what I did here.
Well, let's talk about some of the concepts you have, right? One of the things that we see on your website are answers to a lot of the questions that are out there. And sometimes lodges are cognizant enough to be asking these questions of themselves, and other times they're not. So number one, if you have a lodge out there, the first thing I would recommend, go to the website and browse the website, because sometimes there are answers to questions you didn't even know to ask yet. So I want to say good job on that. Let's talk about lodges that don't have websites.
Sure.
One of the things that you mentioned on your site is the idea that lodges have websites that are out there that might be GeoCities websites from 20 years ago that they've never updated, or maybe they're like you know, Angel Fire tripod websites with dancing babies or whatever, and nothing is connected to anything anymore, and it's 100% not relevant. So this is a problem. It's almost worse than not having a website, because when I find that, I go, oh, they must be gone. At least if you have no website, maybe I'll find you, you know, or an address on the Grand Lodge website or something. What's your take on these kinds of situations, like these outdated sites or websites that just don't exist?
Yeah, there's two things there, at least the way I look at it. With having no website, and I say this as a Mason who's done a bit of traveling for work, and mainly through Ohio, and if I happen to be in an area for the night, I would get on Google and look for insert city name here, Masonic Lodge, just to see if there were any lodges in the area that I had some free time that night. I'll see if I can pop into a meeting. And I can't find anything within an hour's drive of where I'm at least according to Google. Or Bing, of course. And I would have to go to the Grand Lodge website and, of course, go to the lodge locator from there. And I could find two or three lodges that were within 15, 20 minutes. Now, I'm an internal guy. I know the Grand Lodge has that portal to where I can look up addresses for other lodges. But the John Q. Public has no idea that even exists. So if they go to Google and look up insert city name here, Masonic Lodge or Freemasons or anything like that, and they can't find anything at all, they're just going to assume it just doesn't exist there. And there's just no way around it. They will not have any idea to go to the Grand Lodge to look it up via that method because, well, they just don't know any better. As far as websites that are so out of date that it's kind of painful to look at, the cliche is seeing the officer line from the year 2006 still published as new, spinning graphics like you alluded to, the GeoCities kind of cliche. And if I see that, it hurts my soul. It does tell me there's probably a lodge there. I have to do some additional Googling and probably still go to the Grand Lodge and look up that method to see if there is any information about them, if they still even exist. But yeah, to your point, it's kind of better to not have anything like that versus to have eyesore, outdated piece of digital infrastructure. It can just be painful. There's a few ways that people can go about doing that without even paying any money. As you mentioned there on the portal here, under the website, under open source, there's a tab for website hosting. The first part of that site, I list a couple of ways that you can get a website published for free, 100% free. You don't have to know anything about programming in any way, shape, or form. And if you can type up an email, then you can publish a site using these portals here. Google Sites, Weebly, and Wix. I've only used Google Sites myself, Weebly and Wix. I know a lot of other people that have used those. They're completely free. They will have a modern template, drag and drop editor, plug in some text, upload a picture, hit the set it and forget it. You don't even have to do any weekly blogging or anything fancy. It's just a placeholder. Somewhere where someone can go to Google, look up Masonic Lodge, insert location here, and find something that is contemporary, current, and just gives them something to interact with. Social media can be exactly the same. If you have a Facebook page, for example, put in the address, put in your basic who we are, when we meet, here's a phone number, here's an email, put up a picture or two. That can be all you need as well, because that will also feed into Google so that if I look up a lodge in a certain area, it will populate and I can, as John Q. Public, have a way to reach out and say, hey, I want to talk about who you guys are. I've got a grandfather who was a member. I've been thinking about it myself, and you're the first lodge that I came across. That is the opportunity that we're missing out on. A 24/7, 365 method that anyone can find us and reach out.
I think it's interesting that you mention that in your brief last example there, I keep thinking about how if you miss that, then the chances that they will continue to look, though, at another Masonic Lodge or something else is diminished. So if I reach out the first time, and the first time I reach out is to a lodge that has no website or has like a really old one or something, and it's not current or whatever, the chance of another message to another lodge or to the Grand Lodge is diminished, I think. And so it speaks to the importance of having at least a placeholder for lodges that are out there. A couple of years ago, this was something that we dealt with. I think many jurisdictions were dealing with. And any lodge that has, or any Grand Lodge that uses the Mori database membership system, what's now known as M2 or groupable, they decided to click a button and populate a website for every single lodge under their care. So it was like our lodge page slash whatever your lodge was, and instantly there was a firestorm of activity. Some lodges did not want a website. Other lodges felt that the SEO that was populated for the OLP was putting that result above their actual lodge's website, which they love and like. So there were problems, but overall, I think the lodges that maybe have their stuff together with their websites will work with Maury to make sure that their actual lodge website populates first or whatever. But for the vast majority, the sea of lodges out there with nothing, perhaps Country Lodge number 5 that, you know, is literally country building with, you know, nothing around it for 20 miles and doesn't have internet and has a landline phone, they don't have a website, but now they do. And at least the website might list a phone number of a contact, right? Your initial thoughts, was that a good idea to just blanket lodges? Do you think that was good? Do you think it was a step in the right direction, maybe? Or
step in the right direction? Absolutely. I was one of the guys here in the 14th District, which is for the Grand Lodge of Ohio, and that was the one of the first guinea pigs for that particular system, because they already knew I was pretty hot and heavy for websites, especially in Masonic circles, and played around with it a bit. As far as for Blendon's use, we had absolutely no need for it. We just had a very basic paragraph, and, you know, for the most current information on Blendon, please click blendon339.com, and then shuffle them off to there. But as far as a quick and dirty way to get something out there for everyone that was better than nothing, absolutely. Now, the implementation of it, it was a little lackluster for my personal preference, but I also like a little more customization or options, and I personally don't mind getting into code if I have to make something do what I want it to do. But thinking about the 6-year member who is the lodge secretary, who has that contact information published on there and started to get a little more activity, that is it. That was exactly what when that came out, I was so happy. It was a marvelous experiment. Shortly after it came out, though, we, at least in Ohio, actually shifted from Maury to Grandview. So that whole thing went away for us completely. I haven't really kept up with it since. If they've updated the templates or how the backend work, I certainly hope they did, and I would encourage them to continue to do so. But as far as just getting something out there that was quick, dirty, free, emphasis on free, it was a great thing. Great step in the right direction.
Let me ask you, with PR, the public relations, is there, in your opinion, professionally, a direct correlation between the public relations or the public perception and the existence of a Masonic lodge? Can you say that lodges who have a website have better PR, or is it still reliant on other factors like the lodge being active in the community?
I was asked that a few years back, and I actually did a bit of research. I went through, got a listing of every lodge's name in the state of Ohio, and then just using Excel, put a couple search phrases along with that, and I would copy and paste that search phrase into Google and do a search for every single one of these. So insert lodge name here, Facebook. Insert lodge name here, Twitter. Insert lodge name, website, or just, you know, however I kind of recall the exact phrase by this point. And then also for Google Maps and Bing Maps, the idea was to get a simple yes or no if each of these lodges had a piece of this infrastructure in place. Just, I didn't even go into deep detail. Has it been updated in the past 10 years? I just looked, does it exist? Yes or no. And then took the published Ohio data of membership numbers, combined that in Microsoft Power BI, put together a couple of maps as a hotspot maps, based by county. Now there's a strong correlation, as you might imagine, to population centers in Ohio and where the bulk of our membership sits. But there are a number of outliers in the, I'll just say, not population hotspots, that when you look at the data here, it actually had a decent correlation. I didn't look at what the percentage was. I just simply did a heat map and then just kind of clicked through the slides of it. And there was a correlation between having this infrastructure on some level and counties where lodges are that had more membership than others in non-high population centers. What percentage that is, I don't know, but as far as just a straight heat map, quick and dirty, observational, yeah, that's something to look at. And I would say, yes, there's definitely a correlation to that. And again, I speak from the experience of Blendon, of just by having this infrastructure in place, we had more people reach out to us than had ever reached out to us in the past.
Leads me to my next question is, does no PR equal no members?
Absolutely not. Even before the age of the internet, we still had guys who would seek us out and reach out for, hey, who are you? What are you doing? And, you know, I had a grandpa who was a member, curious about you guys, and maybe I might want to join. It's not having digital infrastructure in place isn't going to prohibit people from finding you one way or another. It's an organic process through just word of mouth, maybe having that ring on your finger a guy asks you about, or, hey, I see you got that, what's that thing on that license plate? And it can start a conversation. But having that infrastructure in place just enables that 365, 24/7 opportunity for someone to reach out to you for. It just optimizes the amount of opportunities that people have to engage, to find, to talk to reach out, to call, as compared to just that passing conversation you might have with an employee at your office that if he doesn't see you that day, he might forget about it. But if he's sitting at home at 9 o'clock at night thinking about it, hey, yeah, I remember thinking about that guy who's a Mason. And then Google up Masonic Lodge in Westville, Ohio. Oh, look, there's actually a couple lodges here. I wonder if he's a member there. Oh, I'll just reach out and see who they are. It enables that interaction to occur at any time that's convenient for the person who is looking to find us.
So one of the things that I saw you had outlined was that roughly having a basic presence might equate to as much as 20% more members. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that is kind of a shooting from the hip number, but based on the amount of internet apprentices that we had come through our lodge after we started getting really hot and heavy on Facebook, especially, and just get the website a little more optimized for looking for Westerville queries, there was a correlation. And it be at 10%, 20%, I think it's probably more 15 on average. But after that infrastructure was in place, yeah, we definitely had a membership boost. There's no way to not say there wasn't. Whether or not the website was the end-all be-all and the why it happened, that's kind of up to interpretation. But because we had that website, that's where they came in from. Every single one of those guys that reached out to us, emailed us on the website, found us on Facebook, reached out to us on there, or one of our other pieces online. But every single one of them came to us via the internet.
That's pretty much what we've kind of seen, I think, in Illinois also. I mean, I would not have been made a Mason had there not been a Grand Lodge website. I mean, I was a web inquiry. So for me, it was absolutely imperative. I remember the conversations with my mother lodge, Waukegan. Waukegan number 78. Wow. You know, I thought, well, we should probably have a website. And when we talked about it, my lodge kind of freaked out. It was, we're not allowed to have a website. What do you mean we're not allowed to have a website? Who said that? Well, our Grand Lodge says we can't. I'm not entirely sure that that's factual, right? And so what we find is that there's a lot of people out there who've never reached out for the actual information, who've never reached out to their Grand Lodges to get the word, you know, straight from the official source about the website. And of course, in the end, we are allowed to have a website. And so when this whole thing happened, they built a nice website. My good friend Carlos built a really great website. He's a web guy, so it's what he did. And a few years later, it started to get a little outdated. And so I built another website. And when his .com like expired, I just bought it and took it over. And you know, I used a free service. We used WordPress, which was great for a while. After a while, I think there ended up having some weird ads on the website we were having to clean up and whatnot. Maybe that wasn't the greatest choice at that point. And I know WordPress has moved from a strictly kind of blogging platform to a broader website infrastructure. But as you point out in your website, things like Wix is another great website that you can build for free. As long as you don't mind, you know, the little powered by Wix at the bottom, I mean, kind of who cares, right? Everybody knows lodges from around the country don't all have a couple hundred extra dollars every year to be spending on these things. So, you know, even if you're using Google Blogger or, as you mentioned, Google Sites, I think these are all great options. One thing I see on your website that was intriguing to me, it's one thing to go after a Masonic lodge or as a Masonic lodge to put out, you know, mailings or flyers or whatever. But one thing that you have on here is video marketing. Now, video marketing is, I think, is a pretty interesting concept in Freemasonry. And something that was really only been dabbled in. Several years ago, there were a few Masonic lodges that all competed in a contest to make a commercial for Freemasonry. And the winning commercial was actually really, really great. I'll put a link to that video in our show notes, but it was really well done. But because it's one of these things that has some taboo and might take a little bit more money to accomplish, and with the advent of the Scottish Rite Northern Masonic jurisdictions, like marketing efforts, they have these kind of one or two versions of a commercial that they've put out. Let me get your opinion on, in general, video marketing and what you think about it, and if there's a future in that for Freemasonry, or if you think it's like the mini disc or Betamax. It's one of those things that's in the middle, but we're going to pass over it.
Speaking just in a professional capacity, video marketing will always have a place in some capacity as a wonderful way to engage your customer base, prospects in our case, or just anyone's interested in the subject in general. Videos are very easy to digest, not only from your cell phone as you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting for your appointment, if you're sitting at home, or just any other capacity there. Video marketing, to do it, like you were talking about there, can be a little cost prohibitive, certainly a little prohibitive just to get the right footage, to get the editing right, to get the messaging right. It can be a lot of work to put together a video that actually looks worth watching, but we don't have to do that. There's a, you mentioned the page on my site here, at least at the time that I put my site together, there's probably been a few more videos published since, I went through and found any video that I could possibly find that looks like a good promotional piece about Freemasonry that Grand Lodges had put out, Scottish Rite, and if you just go to Google and look up Freemason video on YouTube, you're going to find a ton of stuff. The videos on here, my personal favorite was Is There Greatness in You? From the Maryland Freemasons page, it's their Grand Lodge. And it has an actor playing as Benjamin Franklin, and he just has a very uplifting, emotional way to really dig into, is there, you know, what's in you? What is your character kind of thing? And a video like that I see as being very useful. Just, you can certainly publish it on your social media page, assuming your lodge has one, but just even having a video like that in the about section for your lodge's website can be just absolutely phenomenal. Having a promotional video on there, promotional, again, can be kind of a bad word in some of our circles, but just having an overview video, for lack of a better way to put it, in your about section or your homepage or somewhere else on your site can be a great way for someone to, within the span of 2 to 3 minutes, get a very inspirational picture of, so that's who these guys are. And it cuts through the junk that you see elsewhere on YouTube, and it's a video published by us, for us. And there's no reason you can't take advantage of it. There's tons of videos out there published by Grand Lodges, and they're all very, very well done. So why not use them?
Yeah, well said. I think there's a lot to be said for it. I think that I would love to see more of a, maybe perhaps a little bit more cryptic to a wider audience. Could you imagine if, you know, we got something played on primetime television or, you know, an ad before your Hulu starts? That might be kind of interesting.
The conspiracy theories would go nuts.
Oh, they would, but it would be fun. You have a great tab for open source, right? Like whether it's so open source for our members who might be listening or anybody out there, basically free stuff that you can get without licensing. You don't have to worry about it. You have great category management here, right? Graphics software. You mentioned GIMP and Adobe's free version for Windows 10. Video editing software, web development software. One of my favorite things actually on the website is your Quill Secretary database tool. I mean, it's pretty neat. And really for lodges out there who, I mean, some Grand Lodges have these homegrown Excel tools, or, you know, maybe they're using Access or whatever, but it's all kind of homegrown. And that's fine if that's what you have to have. But when you have something that's a little bit cleaner, a little nicer, and you're used to a program, like perhaps if you're in Grandview or Mori or something along those lines, and then maybe now you're a secretary of, because you're so good at being a secretary, now you're a secretary of an appendant body organization where we know, like, good luck. Our appendant body organizations don't usually have a membership organizational system. And so the Masonic Lodge Secretary database that you have, which is, again, Microsoft Access 365, is like a really clutch tool. Did you build this yourself or just something that was
out
there?
No, I built that myself. It was actually at the request of our then Secretary Dennis Overholt here at Blendon. He and I, after just a conversation, he described some of the issues he had with just trying to find information for reporting or to find a particular section of minutes. You know, just one key word in his minutes, and he had these dozens of Word documents that he had to go through manually. And I'm a big Access guy. I love Access. And at the time that I made that, I was doing a lot of big database development for the company I was with, Screen Machine Industries. And I kind of fashioned Quills after what I built for myself at Screen Machine. Quills is, and to put it simply, is an Access front end. You can use it actually for free. By link on there, there is a way to download a Access, Microsoft Access runtime engine for free from Microsoft. You can't edit database, the back end, but you can use the front end and any of the features that are actually kind of built into what you can download there. And it's simply a front end for entering minutes, just very templated form fill type stuff, a couple drop down boxes, type in some notes, who was there, who wasn't, what happened. And with every piece that you can put in there, there's a report that you can also pull elsewhere. And it incorporates everything to, at least at the time, here in Ohio, within a couple of clicks, pop in the date range that you want to pull the report for, and you've got everything you need for your annual inspection report that you might have to submit to the Grand Lodge. There are, of course, other bits of data that other Grand Lodges might ask for, but at least for Ohio, this is kind of what I built it for here. But I can give you reporting for, say, the inspection reports, officer attendance, who's done lectures and charges, the attendance of past masters, members, visitors. I can show the averages of each meeting, if there are any sick and distressed, if you want to pull a report on any of the minutes that you've got for that, just to make sure that you're following up with them, what degrees were performed and when, what percentage of what that mix looks like between the three, who's given work back, who didn't, coaches and candidates, who's been coaching who, petitions that have come in, and using the, at the time, Ohio MORI export format. It's probably changed a bit since. You could actually do an export from MORI, import, just copy and paste into the right table on Quills, and you can pull a wealth of demographic information. For what I envisioned that being useful for is if you've got some big project, like you're moving stuff around in your lodge to paint the walls or whatever, so you need some young strapping guys. You can use this report to, for example, find guys that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And you've got a short list of who you might want to call for that. I haven't had any requests for customizations yet, but I just tried to make it really tailored to what Brother Dennis Overholtz was needing at the time. And I just really geeked out on it when I put it together.
Yeah, I think it's a really great tool. I just feel like there's so many secretaries out there who could use something, right? And I think a lot of the software out there that is available for us, unless you have a base knowledge in something like Excel or Alteryx or whatever the case is that you're using, there's just not a way to, for these people to envision what they need to do it and then to put it together, right? So what you've done here essentially is you knew what you needed to see and you created a way to get at that information and to use it. So, I mean, this was really cool. Probably one of my favorite things on your website. Let me ask you, what's your favorite thing on FreemasonMarketing.com? What is the tool that you think is most useful today in your professional opinion?
The tool that is the most useful, I would say under the Public Relations tab, there's a section for address listing. Now this, again, it's all free stuff. I outline the importance of just having a place to, again, look up by name, Masonic Lodge in Westerville, Ohio, or whatever, Google Places and Bing Places. Those two portals to have your information listed, more importantly, to have your address listed, is just so useful. Going back to my comment earlier about being out of town and trying to find a Masonic Lodge in the area, and I just can't find anything. Having that address that I can, once I know they do exist and I have an address that I can look up, being able to have that information and then GPS to it because I have no idea how to get there myself, that is just so vastly underrated. When I did that research a while back of how many lodges throughout Ohio had a website, Twitter, Facebook, Google Places, Bing Places, etc., one of the most underutilized were Google and Bing places. More had websites, more had Facebook and Twitter, and really a startlingly smaller amount had an address listed on those two portals to where you could look them up and use a GPS to get there. GPS has spoiled me. So without that, it's very hard to get somewhere for me if I don't know how to already.
I think it's another great tool that you have here. And it's, again, it's not necessarily in this particular case, right? Like you invented the Quills tool, but look, the Google Places and Bing are out there, and the ability to connect your information to these databases is pretty crucial, especially thinking like if you're one of these lodges who has maybe only your meeting day listed and nothing else, now you can at least go, oh, well, I know they meet on this day and I can just click this button. Like you said, if you're in town on business on a Tuesday and you click, oh, now you know they meet at 7 p.m. And oh, by the way, you click this and route straight to them. Great tool. One of the elements that I did want to talk about, and maybe it'll be perceived here as kind of a backtrack, but the idea, you know, in our chat, you mentioned this idea of techno wizardry, demystifying it.
Yep.
Do you think that it's going to naturally occur over time as new members come in to demystify this stuff? Or do you think that if we wait, or maybe the bigger question here is if we wait for that to happen, it's too late?
I think it is inevitable that it will be embraced and used more as younger members do come into the organization, assuming that your lodge is getting younger members. If it takes that long, is it too late? No, I don't think so. We're still going to be here in some capacity as the larger, just the Grand Lodge organization, but it's the lodge level that I would still worry about. And that was kind of the focus of putting this together, just explaining to lodges, hey, these resources are out there. Here's how you can do it. Here's why it's important to do it now. Just set it and forget it. Once you do it, you don't have to do anything else. And then the infrastructure just plays for it.
Yeah, I think that's another key point that you bring up is that once this is done, you don't have to go back and usually manage this in any way, shape, or form. I mean, even if you're just putting up placeholder information with telephone number, an email address for contact or something, and directions, I mean, really it's a foundation stone. I mean, you can build on it from there, and how big and bold you want to get with your Masonic Lodge's website or web presence or what have you is up to you. But it feels like this is a step where if you're going to start a business, right? If you're going to buy an LLC or S Corp or whatever, or 501c10, it feels like in any way, shape, or form, when you become a legitimate legal entity, part of that should be like, do you exist here? Is your information publicly available here? It just feels like part of the process is a thing that's a given that it should happen. But because we've existed for, whatever, 250, 300 years in the United States, we haven't had to play by those rules. And I think, honestly, the faster our brothers put something together, the better of a time they're going to have in all aspects of the craft, bringing members in, the public relations you've talked about, and simply being, well, this is kind of a loaded thing, but being relevant. Everybody says we're needed more now than ever, and Masonry is relevant now more than ever. Going back to that last paragraph under the problem, it speaks to relevancy in a way. And I don't think there's a way to expect the general public to live in the 19th century here, you know? How long do you think it will be before the vast majority of Masonic lodges have websites? Do you think it'll ever be like a standard, a norm?
I hope it does. My personal dream is that having some base level of web presence out there, again, just as a basic placeholder for someone to find. Man, I'm looking to you, Grand Lodges out there. Having some type of infrastructure a part of the annual inspection process. Does this lodge have a social media presence or a website or a Google Maps listing that can just as a simple set it and forget it placeholder, nothing fancy? Is the information accurate? Does the phone number work? Does the email work? Are the meeting times accurate? I would love to see that as a requirement for the annual inspections.
I think that would be a big step in the right direction. Honest, you know, I'm always wondering like, well, how are we going to implement this? But if it becomes, you know, a line item on the annual inspection or, you know, here in Illinois, we have the official visit. If it becomes a line on that, maybe it's not required, but because it's there, it starts planting seeds in the minds of those who, you know, have to answer for that report.
Absolutely. I forget what the report's called. It's been some years since I've had to fill it out, but the Ohio here started a little internal audit of sorts around inspection time. And it kind of vaguely remember these questions. Again, it's been a few years since I've seen it, but it does go on to ask you how you're performing certain things internally. Nothing that you're truly graded on in the true inspection sense, that is a requirement, but in the end, you are given a score, and based on that score, it's kind of a, you know, needs improvement or has improved or, you know, meets expectations, kind of a grade. And just having this type of a line of questions on that kind of report or conversation from the district deputies or from the Grand Lodge, each lodge would at least just encourage the conversation. I think that would, in and of itself, spark a lot of what we need to have happen. And whether it's 5 years, 10 years before all lodges hopefully have a website, I would love to see that now, but I think that would certainly escalate things in the right way. Or not escalate, to accelerate.
So Matt, on your website, under links, you have something here that says nonprofit marketing resources. Now, as a Masonic lodge, most Masonic lodges, unless you're one of those clandestine LLCs, we're nonprofits. And at least in Illinois, we're 501c10, nonprofit fraternal organization. And when you click that, it takes us to a website that doesn't appear to be something that you manage. And it's nonprofithub.org. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, it's another portal that helped inspire the Freemason Marketing website here. It's literally just a hub for how to manage, market, leverage different resources from the perspective of a nonprofit. And yeah, it is definitely not Masonic in any way, shape, or form. But a lot of the lessons, a lot of the resources, the how-tos really speak and can be translated into the Masonic world. As I pull up their homepage here, one quick example is 5 nonprofit email marketing mistakes to avoid. Now, hopefully your lodge is sending out a newsletter, be it physical snail mail or an email, and there are some actual best practices on how to approach a newsletter to your membership. And they outline a lot of the best practices for doing something just like that. They have fundraising information, how to do this, how to do that, different resources for just marketing or management. Again, it's just it's a wealth of information for the nonprofit space that can be translated very easily to the Masonic world. It's a very widely used resource. This came to my radar a few years back from my work with the United Way of Lincoln County. Some of their people have been looking at this and followed them on social media. And it's just a very, very good resource to keep an eye on for inspiration, for other things that you might be able to do to apply success for your lodge.
Really great information. You know, I opened that same thing, the 5 nonprofit email marketing mistakes. And one of the things that jumps out to me often is we have so many guys who jump into this world and they see exactly what is put in front of them in terms of options of what they can do. And what we see all the time is that it's overkill. They will put everything and all things in the email communication. It's not really formatted for mobile devices. But what I see here is use templates that are optimized for mobile devices. Oh my gosh, thank you. Avoid subject lines over 30 characters. Yes! Just a lot of great stuff that happens to jump out right away that I think these are wonderful starting places. And I didn't know about this resource before, so I think I'm definitely going to be taking a look at it and going through it, making sure that we're checking all the boxes and unchecking the boxes of the things we shouldn't be doing. Freemasonry, for a long time, looked at the outside world and said, well, we don't need any part of that. We're our own internal experts, which I think is a crucial mistake, considering we were a progressive institution that the world looked to. And now we're not so much anymore. The world has passed us by in a lot of ways. And I think in a way to stay relevant, in a way to stay, relevant is the word. You have to engage people the way society engages people today through the modern means that they are used to, kind of the antiquated old ways. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a lodge email sent to me from the secretary that has every single member they sent it to in the CC line. So I have to scroll through 300 lines of text before I get to the actual email. How about BCC those people, guys? Or better yet, use a marketing service, an email marketing service. But this is all great information, Matt. I really want to thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to come on the show and talk to us about FreemasonMarketing.com and a lot of the different tools that you have available. And I can't stress this enough to the listeners. This is all free stuff. And it's put together out of the love of the craft and to assist lodges out there. And I really hope that everybody heads on over there, and we'll have links to a few of the key points we talked about, but also the main website, Freemason Marketing, right in the show notes. Matt, I want to thank you very much for your time today, and I want to give the floor back to you. If there's anything you would like to mention, to plug to our audience, feel free.
There's one last thing I wouldn't mind mentioning. Under the public relations tab, social media. One of the other aspects that has been a wild success for us with our fundraising efforts, which, by the way, here in Ohio, the bulk of our proceeds from events go towards the Special Olympics, most especially the Westville branch of the Special Olympics. A few years back, we started doing fish fries, and one of the easiest and most effective, I can't emphasize enough how much the effectiveness of doing this, is a Facebook ad. You have to have a Facebook account or a Facebook page put up, which, by the way, the Grand Lodge of Ohio has wonderful instructions on how to do that. I list up a few of those myself and kind of link to them as well. And for as little as $5 a day, really just $2 a day, you can target your local municipality with an ad for an event. Now, again, ads are kind of a bad word, but if you're trying to promote an event, you know, you might write a newspaper to have it published in the calendar. That's technically an ad. And for a Facebook ad to get in front of potentially thousands of people for a couple of bucks that you can set up in about maybe 10, 15 minutes, it will pay so much to get your event the right recognition it needs to get, and so we can raise funds for those causes that are near and dear to us.
Wonderful points. I have used Facebook ads on a few occasions to bolster response to public Masonic documents to get people to download or whatever. And I think it's really good. You can't always rely on just sticking a sign out in front of your lodge for a pancake breakfast for the public for 2 weekends ahead of time and expect people to remember and show up. The thing that we're doing all the time is we're pulling out a phone, and Facebook reminds us that there's a local event happening that just happens to be something we might be interested in. That's the way to get them. So great points.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for your time. If you ever find your way up in the Chicagoland area, I'd love to have you come out to lodge one night, and I'll have to look up Blendon sometime when I'm out in the Ohio area.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Among the many stories of brothers meeting in mortal combat on the battlefield, but nevertheless extending brotherly love and Masonic courtesies, is the account of the meeting of Lord Charles Cornwallis and Baron Johann DeKalb. Not much is known of the Masonic activities of either, nor are their lodges known for certain. It is likely, however, DeKalb was a member of Pennsylvania's Armed Forces Lodge 29. Brother Cornwallis is best known as the British general during the American Revolution who surrendered to George Washington at Yorktown, putting an end to the American Revolutionary War. As a member of the House of Lords, Cornwallis actually sided with the American colonists but chose country over ideology when he became the commander of British forces in the colonies on January 1, 1776. He led that effort until his surrender October 19, 1781. After the Revolution, Cornwallis went on to serve as Commander-in-Chief of India in 1786, as well as Viceroy of Ireland from 1798 to 1801. He returned to India in March 1805, serving as Governor General until his death 7 months later at the age of 66. Born in Germany in 1721, Brother DeKalb served in the French Army for over 20 years, coming to America in 1768 on what was called a secret mission designed to help France determine the level of discontent among the colonists. During that trip, he came to respect the colonists for what he called their spirit of independence. 9 years later, he returned to the colonies with the Marquis de Lafayette, his protege, joining the American forces with the rank of Major General. He spent most of that winter at Valley Forge with a brigade of troops under his command. DeKalb was a popular figure given his support, loyalty, and ultimate sacrifice to America. Across the country, cities, towns, and counties have been named after him. The ironclad Civil War ship named in his honor sported a large square and compasses atop its smokestacks. Brother George Washington described him as the generous stranger who came from a distant land to fight our battles. And at one of those battles, in Camden, South Carolina, on August 16, 1780, DeKalb's horse was shot from under him, and while he was still on the ground, British soldiers shot and bayoneted him. Cornwallis saw what had happened and rode to his aid. "I'm sorry, sir, to see you," he said. "Not sorry that you are vanquished, but sorry to see you so badly wounded." He ordered his own surgeons to come to DeKalb's aid and supervised as they dressed his wounds. DeKalb replied, "I thank you, sir, for your generous sympathy, but I die the death I always prayed for, the death of a soldier fighting for the rights of man." He died 3 days later at the age of 59. Cornwallis, his mortal enemy but Masonic brother, attended his funeral and performed the grand honors of masonry at his gravesite. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
Wow. Talk about a wild tale indeed. Two military men, brothers, who become friends. And, man, this is just like a tale right up there from A House Undivided, or perhaps the book The Better Angels of Our Nature by Mike Halloran. I never cease to be amazed at the stories that come out like this. Truly, a new respect for the two of these brothers. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brother Matt. He has a real passion project for us and a lot of free tools to get our lodges up and running in the 21st century. Now, I know we've talked a little bit about technology in the past and selling Freemasonry and all of these topics, but all together they really give us a much better objective picture of what's going on and how to fix it. Links to all of the things we talked about are in the show notes. That's it for this week. I want to give a thank you once more to our producers, fellows, contributors, legacy partners. We're really looking forward to those episodes. It's going to be fantastic. In the upcoming weeks, you can look forward to our continuing the chapter reads of Max Hindle's work, Ancient and Modern Initiation, as well as an interview with a special guest as we talk about something really quite interesting. What if I said fallen angels, Freemasonry, aliens, and the disclosure? Yep, I know it sounds wild, but we're going to dive into it and see what it's all about. That's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining me, and until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.